The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We've been studying the book of Romans, and it's been an exciting book. And we've entitled our sermon series, Romans, Eternal Life, because that's what Paul speaks about so much in the book of Romans. And for our series, we've been using Romans 1, 15, and 16. I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So this gospel that Paul was so anxious to preach has been preserved for us, and we've been studying now for several weeks, and we've covered topics such as why was he so eager to preach it, what the law could not do, there's things that the law cannot do. We talked about the Roman roads and how that impacted the gospel. We talked about having a Roman holiday, subtitled Living the Dream. We spoke about the war that Rome could not win. And for the past 3 weeks, we've been speaking about the panorama that is seen in Romans chapter 8, which I've entitled The New Leader of the Roman Empire. Oops, pushed the wrong button. There we go. And our text is Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God or the children of God. Paul declared that there was a new leader in Rome. There's a new leader in town. There's a new sheriff who's taken over. There's a new set of laws that have been placed upon the world, and that is the laws of the Spirit. And we're to be Spirit-led people and followers of the Spirit. But it's really actually more than that, and we'll get into this some more in the coming weeks. We are children. We are a family. We belong together. We have the same DNA. You can't separate us. They put us under a microscope, a spiritual microscope, and they'll find that we're all related. So this new leadership has some attributes that I wanted to talk about. And we spoke about this several weeks ago. New believers have escaped the sword of judgment. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now, and this is the operative word, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we spoke in great length about that. The new king set aside the guilty verdict on us, that we would be set free from the penalty that guilty verdict was placed upon us. And we're not waiting for judgment. I just want to go back to that for just a minute because it's very important. So many of us are under the idea that when we die, we will face the judgment. If you're a born-again believer, you don't have to worry about that. The judgment's already been done. Jesus has been judged in our place. And that's an important key thing for us to understand about who we are in Christ. Now, I'm not going to re-preach that sermon, but that is part one of this particular sermon, about what God has done in Romans chapter 8. So I'd encourage you to look at that. The second thing I spoke about was Jesus is the new leader in town in the Spirit because believers are subject to a new rule of law. Verse 2 in Romans 8, because, and the because is, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because, and this is why, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So that the law kills. That is the law. You break the law, you die. I mean, it's just as simple as that. There's no ifs, ands, buts, whatever. I mean, that's the law. But a new law has been in effect for those who believe. And it's the law of the Spirit of God, all right, of life. And that law makes us alive. Paul said, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Now we've been made alive. So you're no longer dead, but you've been made alive in Christ Jesus. All right? So that's a whole sermon unto itself. The other thing we spoke about was believers are declared lawfully right with the king. Lawfully right with the king. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law was powerless to do, okay? Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, all right? Because the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so, and this is a key phrase right here, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh?
Jesus' flesh.
Jesus' flesh. He condemned, Jesus became flesh, all right? God did this by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he, God, condemned sin in the flesh, key phrase, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. The righteous requirements of the law are fully met in us. In other words, we are law keepers. We're not under the law of sin and death any longer because of what God himself did. He became flesh. God condemned sin. Jesus became sin on the cross. Sin was punished. It was all taken care of. In order that, this is why God did it all. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Sometimes we get this idea that God did this because he's a big old meanie, you know, and he just couldn't deal with this thing of sin and all that goes along with it. No, he did all this. Christ came for one purpose, to demonstrate his love for us, and he condemned sin in the flesh so that, put your name there, the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in you. You have the righteousness of God when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. And then he says, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he did that so that you could fulfill the law. There was no way that you could have done it because we have all been lawbreakers. Paul said in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that God took care of the problem. We were all under the death penalty, and God took care of that. When Christ died on the tree, and we now have the righteousness of God, and our spirits is in fellowship with God in a way that it could never be for someone who's an unbeliever. Now, one of the things about that is this part here about the last line, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The misinterpretation of that, and this is where we get into trouble in church. We said, okay, you live by the Spirit. And then we tell you what that meant. You go to church every day, you know, or twice on Sunday, once in the middle of the week. You know, we're considered heathens here because we don't have a Sunday night service. And you know why we don't have Sunday night service? So that you could be with your family on Sunday night. That's the reason we do that. Because I've been to churches that will burn you out trying to get you to walk in the Spirit, where Sunday is just, by the time Sunday night comes, you're so dead tired, you can hardly get up on Sunday morning and go to work. So I want you to be with your family. It's a time to relax. Sunday morning, I want you in church. Amen. Not because you gain any points with God, you just gain points with me.
All right?
You need to gain points with me. That's why you come to church on Sunday morning, all right? So, but this is not a statement of cause and effect, where you walk in the Spirit and you're going to get some good benefit from it. No, it's a statement of fact. When you become a believer, you will walk in the flesh you will walk in the Spirit because now your spirit has been made alive. All right? That was last week's sermon. I'm not even going to preach it this morning. Now, this has been a 5-point sermon. I am now on point 4. I usually do 5 points in one day, but it's taken me a while. I told you that Romans chapters 1 through 7 was like climbing a mountain. We've been moving up. Paul's been giving us information. We're not under the penalty of the law anymore. The law has been done away with, you know, and all of those things. And he gets to the end of chapter 7. And Paul, and I can just see him. I mentioned this to the guys last week. Saturdays we have in a fellowship here at the church before we went and moved all the furniture. But, you know, it's like Paul wrote all this great stuff in chapters 1 through 7, the first part of it. And then he almost stops and said, yeah, well, you know, guys, but I got a problem. And my problem is, well, I want to do good and I never do it. I have trouble doing good. And I don't want to do bad. And I find myself doing stuff I shouldn't do. The great apostle Paul had a problem? I mean, we got statues of him. He's been coronated, you know. Is that the right word? He's received a coronation? You know, he's been deified. You know, he's perfect. He is Saint Paul. Wow. I mean, I'm Saint Angelo, but I mean, that's not such a big deal. No, but he is Saint Paul. And he says he's got problems. Imagine that. And he goes through all of that thing at the last part of chapter 7, and then I see him stop. And he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he says, thank God that in Christ I am delivered from it. And then he says, and then he boldly steps up to the top of the mountain. He's at the highest peak, and he writes and proclaims chapter 8. And he boldly says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, because it was weak in the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he condemned sin in the flesh so that we could fulfill the righteous requirements of the law and that we could walk in the Spirit. Wow, when you put it all together, it is the mountaintop. It is hope. It is the truth that is never, I shouldn't say never, seldom preached to the body of Christ. What we preach is that little thing that Fran just read. You know, do everything right. Make sure you give your tithes. Make sure you're here when the church doors are open. Make sure you don't cuss and chew and, you know, do all the things that people do. And you will be walking in the Spirit. Beloved, you cannot walk in the Spirit. You don't have the capability of doing that. You've tried and it doesn't work. You'll find yourself walking in the flesh, doing stuff you don't want to do. Your only hope is Christ in him crucified and your faith and your belief in him to give you the ability to move and live in the Spirit. That's what this is all about, so that we can live in a new dynamic, a new reality that couldn't be done. It just couldn't be done in our flesh. We're to walk in the Spirit. Now, I just lost my whole thing. Where am I? There I am. I knew I had that slide somewhere. Believers willingly submit to the new leadership. All right? Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the fleshly desires. Or on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. See the contrast? There's what the flesh desires, and there's what the Spirit desires. Now don't get caught up in this trap, because I'm going to liberate you from some stinking thinking, all right? What happens is, we say, well, I don't want to live according to the desires of the flesh. I want to live according to the Spirit. That's a good thing, but you can't do it. That's what Paul was saying in chapter 7. We have these problems, all right? So stay with me and I'll show you. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So he said, the stinking thinking, the wrong kind of thinking, the fleshly thinking, doing what the flesh wants you to do will lead you to death. It won't work. And the psalmist said, there's a way that seems right to a man and or woman, and the ways thereof are the ways of death. All right? So you see the contrast. Now, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. People say, well, I'm gonna keep the Ten Commandments. I'm going to do that. By God, I'm going to do it. Well, just as soon as you said that, by God, you just took God's name in vain. You're in trouble anyway. All right? So, I mean, it can't be done. If there's anybody in this room who has kept the Ten Commandments and all the law, I want you to stand up because I'm going to watch you fall dead for lying. We'll get some deacons and we'll get you carried out just like Ananias and Sapphira for lying. I mean, it can't be done, all right? And that's what it says. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. I wish you had a mark slot to mark it on the screen here. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. So you are not in the realm of the flesh. Something happens to you when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Something changes. You are a different person. You're not what you were. You're something new, something never seen before. Paul said in Corinthians, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are alive. You are dead and you're made alive. He goes through so many illustrations and words and examples to try to get us to understand that you are different. You were, and the best words he could come up with is, you were dead and now you've been made alive. It's just the difference is beyond the imagination that we have. We don't have the imagination to comprehend it all. But we know that it's true because the Word of God says it. And we know because we begin to think differently and we begin to do things differently. And the one thing about getting born again is before you could sin and you loved it. When you're really born again and you sin, you hate yourself for doing it. And you want to get out of those traps. And you can't be a happy participant in sin when you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Now, if you believe you're born again and you continue in sin and doing things the Bible says that you shouldn't do, the Word of God says you shouldn't do, then you really ought to examine yourself. Do I have religion or do I have Jesus Christ? Have I been born again or am I just living in the flesh, trying to satisfy the desires of the flesh, and my mind believes that I'm okay with God, but you have no life in your spirit. Something needs to change. And I don't need to preach sermons on sin. If you're doing something that God doesn't want you to do, the Holy Spirit will tell you. And you know it. If you're born again. If you're not born again, the flesh will lie to you and say, oh, you're okay. Gee, everybody's doing it. You know, it's right. Well, God made you this way. And then you can't help yourself because you're made this way. That's the homosexual lie. That's the lie that's permeating homosexual society today. They believe that God made them that way. And that's a lie. It's just not true. But the mind of the flesh will believe that lie. Okay? And that's just one. People do stuff all the time. You know, that they know they shouldn't do, and yet their mind will reason it to be that way. And God, you know what God said? He said, I'll just turn them over to a reprobate mind. If that's what they want, I'll just let their mind just get worse and worse and worse. That's why when you read the newspaper and you see stuff on TV and all that stuff and you're a born-again believer, you say, what are they thinking? Well, they're thinking like the flesh. And they really can't help it. Okay? So, you, however, put your name there, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. All right? Now here's the key phrase. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. You can't have a make-believe, well, let me rephrase that. You can have a make-believe Christianity. You can make-believe. You can just shine yourself up as best you can. You can show up in church services, and you can be in wherever you are in your jobs or in school, wherever you may be, and you can put on this facade of Christianity, and people will believe it. They say, "Oh, gee, wow, they must be good folk. You know, they go to church and they give their tithes and they do it. They must be good folks." But if you don't have God's Spirit in you, you're a make-believer. And that's what this is trying to tell us. We need to look at ourselves and say, am I really a believer? Have I really turned my life over to Christ? Has something happened to me? Because if you don't have Christ living in you, you are still dead in your sins. You're still dead. You do not belong to Christ. You know, Jesus talked about people being different. And so different that they would do things that they wouldn't normally do. Remember the rich young ruler showed up one day? And he said, Master, what must I do? And I'm going to paraphrase this way. So, what can I do? And he said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done that all my life. I said, wow, that's pretty good. He said, well, okay. Why don't you just sell everything you got and come follow me? I said, oh, well, no, I wasn't that serious about this, keeping the commands is one thing, but now you want all my wealth and all my goods, and you want me to follow you? That's more than, I'm not willing to do that. See, the mind of the flesh cannot follow the Spirit of God, and it won't do it. They just won't do it. He didn't do it. You know the most amazing part of that story? The most amazing part of that story? Jesus let him walk away. You know what I'd have done? Come back. Just get half your goods. Maybe 25%. Would you just give a tithe? Not everybody tithes. Would you just give 5%? Would you just come on Sunday morning? Would you just come to church on Sunday morning? Just water it down. You know how much of you that God wants? All of you. He doesn't want your behavior. He wants you. He wants you. Bad behavior and all. And if you need to be cleaned up, he'll clean you up. Not my job to clean you up. I'm not in the cleaning business. I don't want a spiritual car wash. All right? It's not my job. I don't know why I thought of this. I don't even know why I thought of that. But it just reminded me of somebody I knew who bought a new car. And it was one of those big suburban kind of vehicles. And they were taking it to the car wash. This is nothing spiritual. This is just a story, right? They were taking it to the car wash to get it clean. And the guy who was, the husband was going to drive it, wasn't real sure because it was so big of how to get it through the drive. So he got his wife to get out. Am I telling the story right? His wife got out in front. And so she's going like this, walking into the car wash, backing him up. You know what happened, don't you? She hit the trip light, and she got washed with the car wash. Just got drenched trying to get the car into the car wash. She disappeared in a fog of soap and mist. You know how those car washes are. So the point of the story is, I'm not leading you into the car wash, all right? It's about knowing the truth and knowing who Christ is, all right? So I haven't even looked at my notes yet. Amazing. I have other things to say. You submit to God because you of who you are, not because of your will. You believe with your will. And when you believe, then the Spirit of God in you will submit to the things that God wants you to do. You don't follow the flesh. Because you are made right with God. You begin to live differently. The old law of the flesh says this: if you do good and refrain from evil, you will be blessed. That's the old law of sin and death. That's what the Ten Commandments and all the rituals and that were all about. Just do all these things and you'll be okay. You'll be blessed. If you do these things, You'll be cursed if you don't do these things. That's what the Old Testament law says. People who want to live under the law only want to live on the selected part that they think they can keep. But you can't do that. You got to keep it all. You can't decide which parts you like and which parts you don't like. All right? But the new law, the Spirit says, now listen, since Jesus did good and refrained from evil, you were blessed. It's because of what he did, not what you did. Rick Warren was wrong when he wrote his wonderful book, The Purpose-Driven Life. The first sentence in the book says, it's all about you. No, it's not. It's all about him. It's all about God. It's all about Christ. Now, it's all about you in the sense that God was thinking of you and did all of this for you, but it's really all about the epicenter of all creation, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the essential thing of Christianity that we seem to have missed. Born-again believers do not live according to the flesh. They may fail, but they do not fall. We all fail. That's why the word for sin is a word that literally means to miss the mark. You're trying to go somewhere and you miss it. You're trying to hit a target and you miss it. It wasn't that you were trying to do bad. You were trying to do good. You're trying to live by the Spirit. And everybody flubs up. Everybody sins. But that's why we have a Savior. Listen, I'm going to repeat some of what I said before because it needs to be repeated. Sin is not imputed to you. In other words, sin is not charged to your account. God doesn't have a scoreboard where he puts down all of your sins. He doesn't keep track of those things. Sin is not imputed to you when you're in Christ Jesus. There is no law to condemn you. Well, we were talking about, and Ricky, I mentioned that the men's thing, that the law is for the unbeliever. And its purpose is not to make them good by keeping it. The purpose of the law, Paul said, was that they might know that they needed a Savior. The law condemned them. It would come to that realization. Okay? So that in Christ, now I know some of you just gonna say, oh my God, that couldn't possibly be true. But I'm gonna tell you the truth, all right? You're a born-again believer. No sin you have ever done or will ever do will be charged against you. Oh man, that's heresy. If I were you, Paul, I'd get my wife, my babies, I'd leave because that couldn't possibly be true. I mean, who would have thought of something like that? Wow. Maybe God thought of that. You know why? Because he knew how sorry we are and how incapable we are of keeping ourselves saved. Because we want to do that. We want to use our behavior to maintain a relationship with God. Your behavior cannot maintain your relationship with God. Only the behavior of Christ can maintain your relationship with God. And he did it. I've got it right here for you to read. It is finished on Calvary's tree. He did it that you could be set free forever and ever and ever. That's too good to be true. And it really is true. And somebody's going to say, that means I can do whatever I want. You can do whatever the Spirit leads you to do. And the Spirit of God will not ever lead you into temptation and into sin. He won't do that. That's not his job. When you're led astray, beloved, you're not led astray by God. The devil didn't make you do anything. He set up the opportunity. God didn't make you do anything wrong. He sets up the opportunity. And sometimes believers stumble and fall. Now, what do we do in the church when people stumble and fall? Throw them out. We don't want any unclean things in here. I want all the people who have never sinned to pick up the stone and start throwing them right now. As a believer, it does say we won't continue in sin. You know why you won't continue in sin? Because you're born again. The Spirit inside of you won't let you do it. He'll make you so miserable. You say, I don't. Okay, and this is what finally happens. You'll finally say, okay, God, I give up. I can't do this myself. I give up. And he said, oh, I've been waiting for you to do that. And then he gives, we're empowered. In Romans, he says we're empowered by God. We are empowered by him that we can overcome our sin. And he doesn't throw us away. It says that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. That's the promise of God. Churches will throw you out. They'll push you out. Holy Spirit will never throw you out. Never throw you out. Hallelujah. That's a good word. That's a good word. Okay. Believers now live in peace and harmony. Verses 10 through 13. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Let's stop there for just a minute. If Christ is in you, all right? Christ dwells in you. You're born again. The Spirit of God is in you. You have the righteousness of God. You know, you've been justified, reconciled, all those things. If Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Your body has not been redeemed, and it will not be redeemed. You, however, have been redeemed. This flesh, this DNA, this stuff, ain't going to heaven like it is. And you got to carry it around with you. And the older you get, the bigger that job gets. You know, carrying around with you. It starts aching. Somebody said yesterday, the worship team was up there leading for the men. Who was it? Somebody made the comment. They said, gee, look at them. The worship team's getting so old, they're all sitting on chairs up there. I noticed some of them were standing this morning, you know, because this old flesh is getting worn down, all right? It's getting slow. Y'all too young to have any clue what I'm talking about, all right? These are my two best examples of people, you know. Hey, when I talk about the old folks, it's not about you, okay? It's not about you. It's some others in here, but it's not about Paul and Kayla, all right? But this flesh will only be fully redeemed when God does another miracle, and it's called the resurrection. At the resurrection, it says, you'll get a new body. And everybody said, amen. Looking forward to it, all right? I'm looking forward to a new body. And did you hear me said? If you get to heaven before I do, and you see a disenfranchised arm bouncing around the streets of gold, it's mine. All right? It's just waiting for me to get there. You know, we'll get all put together, but that's not happening before the resurrection. But we're in it. We're still in the flesh, and we have to deal with this. We have the mind of Christ to help us to think well. Our brains have still got memories of a lot of junk from living in the world and not being born again. Now, that's in our memory banks in the flesh. But our mind is the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That's the spiritual mind that we've been given. I was going to say something very nasty, like some of you haven't got all your mind yet, but you're working on it. You know, no, actually, you've got the mind of Christ. You're okay, all right? That was just was a bad joke I was going to think of. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So there is coming a day when Jesus, who was raised from the dead, will give life to your mortal bodies because the spirit lives in you. So there's the promise of the resurrection. It's promised that this flesh will be one day changed. And what it's going to be like, even Paul said, I don't know, but whatever Jesus was like, that's what we're going to be like. All right? So God's going to do that for us. But in the meantime, don't let what happens to the flesh make decisions about what happens to your spirit. Your spirit has already been justified, and you have the righteousness of God because of what Christ did. Y'all got that? All right? Okay. Now, moving on. Therefore, I love it when Paul says, therefore, you know, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. So he said, we have an obligation, but don't be paying attention to your body. Your body wants stuff you shouldn't have, you know. It wants to take you places you shouldn't go. It wants to keep you there longer than you need to stay. That the flesh will do that. That memory bank of the old you will come along and give you those ideas, those memory habits. We have memory habits from before we were born again, and those memory habits want to be done. They want to be satisfied, okay? But in Christ, you have a new mind, a new spirit. You've been born again. You have a new life. We have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, he's not saying that to a believer. I mean, we just read where he said, but you, talking about you, he said, for if you live according to the flesh, he's talking about the unbeliever. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of this body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's talking about unbelievers. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You put to death the misdeeds of the body when you become a believer and you become born again. We keep building this cause and effect into it. That's why I keep running back to the beginning of the sermon and kind of keep bringing it up to date, because if I just grab one piece of the scripture, you can be misled. You've got to read the whole thing. In fact, I sat down this morning as I was getting my last thoughts together and read through the whole verses 1 through 13 of Romans. You know, just read through it all together in one fell swoop. And it's a beautiful picture of what God has done. And then he says, you know, the flesh has got nothing good in it. Don't follow it. You are a believer. The Holy Spirit will lead you. You'll be led by the Spirit. And you won't be fulfilling the desires of the flesh any longer. Even if you stumble and fall, it's okay. God will pick you up. He's not going to throw you out. So our obligation Well, this is where it gets hard. This is where really our obligation is to be led by the Spirit. But that is hard because you know what you want? You want the same thing I want, rules and regulations. Would you just tell me what to do, Pastor, and I'll do it. I can't tell you what to do because I don't know what God wants you to do. I don't know what your life is supposed to be like. We're different. The Holy Spirit's different. Give me an illustration. Y'all know Pat? You know, she's my wife. You don't know her like I know her. She's my wife. And I have a different relationship with her than you do. Now, Liz, been knowing Pat for long. She knows Pat in a way that you don't, because she's been knowing her longer. She's had a longer relationship with her. Paul just met you several weeks ago. You know, he doesn't hardly know you at all. And that's the way it is with God. We're at different levels of our understanding of who he is. And we grow in our understanding of him. And he teaches us and leads us in the pathway that he wants us to go. But I can't say what's good for you. Only the Holy Spirit can say what's good for you. Now, I can say that, and Paul would have said this, he said, you can't do whatever you want to do and think you're doing something right for God. You can't lie to yourself and do sin and say, well, it's okay because God loves me. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. But that's the Holy Spirit's job to speak to you about it. Now, I can tell you what the Bible says. You can read it for yourself. It's pretty plain. Thou shalt not steal. All right? Those who don't work, don't eat. If you were stealing, quit stealing and get a job. I can tell you that. But what I can't tell you is that a born-again believer, if you steal something, you will go to hell. I can't say that because that's not true. I can tell you that God washes all your sins away, makes you right with him, and that you are led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit will say to you, hey, don't be knocking off any banks. This is not good. And you couldn't say, well, but I'm going to give 10% to the church. If you knock off a bank and you give me the 10%, I'd be hard-pressed to give it back to the police, but I would. So you follow, you see where I'm going, don't you? You can't make this stuff up and make up your own set of rules. You have to live by the rules of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Those are the rules that we live by. And I don't know all the rules. The only way I could know all the rules is that I have to know God. So I've reached a point, and one day you'll reach this point with me, I hope. You'll finally discover that we know only what Paul knew. I don't know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I know. That's what I know. I've been exposed to too much theology. I've heard too many sermons. You know, I've read too much of the scripture. You know, I've been too confused too long. But I figured that out. And it's all about him. It's all about him. So what I do is I just try to stick close to him. And sometimes I'm right about stuff. Sometimes I'm wrong about stuff. Family matters, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. You know, just a whole, you know, the end times, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. I found out that Jesus is coming back one day. I have no clue when. People say, well, this must be the end times. Just look what's happening. Looks like the end times to me. What do I know? You're asking the wrong guy. But if you ask me about Jesus Christ and him crucified, I can tell you something about that because I know that. That's what I'm sticking with. I don't worry about all the prognosticators who have it all figured out. They're just a lot smarter than I am, I guess. Or a lot dumber than I am, I guess. I don't know. That's why the message of... We tend to make it so complicated, but it's not complicated at all. It's very simple. I mean, if you can read English and what we just went through today, it's pretty simple. Now, I've kind of chopped it up a little bit for sermon purposes to give you little bites at a time. But if you read the whole thing, in fact, tell you what I'm going to do. Can I do this? Well, y'all, just if you got Bibles or iPads or whatever, go to Romans chapter 8. Huh? Y'all ready? Romans chapter 8. And I've got the NIV here. All right? That's where I'm going to read it from. We're just going to read these first 13 verses together just so we get a panoramic picture of the whole thing at one time. Well, actually, yeah, okay. I hate it when preachers do this. Actually, I'm going to back up a little bit to verse 24 in chapter 7. Okay, you there? What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. Wow. When you put it all together, it makes spiritual sense as to who we are and what God wants to do. We're not of this world, beloved. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. We've been changed eternally by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us. That's what he wants us to know. That's how he wants us to live.
Can we call it spiritual assurance?
What's that?
Can we call it spiritual assurance?
A spiritual assurance. Spiritual assurance. I'm going to stop here, and I actually finished that sermon. And God willing, next week I'm going to pick up with, this is the little recap of the five subjects we covered in that one sermon. And next week, it's really going to be cool. Inheritance belongs to children. Inheritance belongs to children. And we'll study that next week, okay? Let's all stand. Y'all okay?
Amen.
Okay? All right? For some of you, this is new stuff. Get discouraged. Just kind of dig in it and just ask the Holy Spirit to help you to comprehend this. It's the most liberating teaching you will ever hear. It'll set you free. And that's what Jesus wants. Miss Liz.
I'd like to say, as long as I've been knowing you, I was baptized in a preacher when I was 12 years old. And I've been trying the best of my ability to always serve the Lord. And when I've been seeking him, my prayers have been answered.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth for what you've done for us. That which we could not do of ourselves, you have done for us. You have put us in fellowship with you. That fellowship that was broken in the garden so very long ago with our ancestors, Adam and Eve, has been not restored, but it has been made new. And we have a new relationship with you that not even Adam and Eve could comprehend. For we are the redeemed of the Lord. We have been redeemed. The angels in heaven don't understand it, but we understand it because we know from whence we came, and you have made us new. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for these precious promises. Thank you for the blessed hope that you have given us. Not a hope in things that we don't know about, or we're kind of hoping they'll happen, but the hope of assurance of who we are in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Watch over us, take care of us in all that we do. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you have a special need for something before you leave, I'll be up here in the front for a little bit. I'll be glad to pray for you. And as soon as you ladies can get a little cup of coffee or something, and you'll meet up here with Fran. And you now have permission, after the meeting, to go see the conference room. The men have already seen it. Amen. You're dismissed.